Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament officially kicks off Thursday in Australia and New Zealand. Phil Mercer has this preview from Sydney, Australia.
More than a million tickets have already been sold for the 64 games. FIFA, the sport's international governing body, believes it will be the most watched women's soccer tournament. 32 nations will take part in the World Cup, co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. In 1991, when the event was first held, there were just 12 teams. The United States is the defending champion and hopes to become the first team to win the trophy three times in a row. With matches as far apart as Perth in Western Australia to the New Zealand capital Wellington, this tournament will be like no other in terms of distances. Ireland, for example, will travel 8,000 kilometres in the group stage alone. But as the tournament prepares to start, there is controversy over the competition's prize money. The winners of the Men's World Cup receive $440 million, but for women, the prize is $110 million. The Australian women's national team, known as the Matildas, released a video Monday to complain about the disparity and lack of an equal prize. Midfield player Tamaki Yallop said while the Matildas have some of the same rights as Australia's men's team, the Socceroos, there's still inequality.
Collective bargaining has allowed us to ensure we now get the same conditions as the Socceroos, with one exception. FIFA will still only offer women one quarter as much prize money as men for the same achievement.
Soccer is Australia's most popular sport in terms of participation. There's a feeling among former players and supporters that New Zealand and Australia are hosting the tournament at a pivotal time for women's football. Its profile has never been higher, and arguably the standards never better. Kate Gill is a former Matildas captain and co-chief executive at Professional Footballers Australia, the Players' Union. She told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that she hopes the tournament will encourage fans to also support Australia's domestic competitions.
There's going to be a number of young boys and girls that are really going to fall in love with the game and want to get involved in football. And we do have two domestic codes, both the A-League men and the A-League women. They are crying out for some love in that respect. So if we could kind of transition that enthusiasm and fans could start showing up in support of that, I think that would be the big call out from this World Cup.
The highest ranked country going into the World Cup is the United States, followed by Germany, Sweden, England and France. Co-hosts Australia are ranked 10th by FIFA, while New Zealand is 26th. The opening match will be between New Zealand and Norway at Eden Park in Auckland on July 20. A few hours later in Sydney, Australia plays Ireland. The final will take place in Australia a month later at Sydney's Olympic Stadium on August 20. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thanks, Phil. The defending champion, United States, features 14 players who are making their Women's World Cup debuts. Defender Kelly O'Hara is one of the team's veterans. This will be her fourth World Cup. At a news conference in Auckland, New Zealand, where the USA will play Vietnam Saturday, the 34-year-old O'Hara commented on the team's World Cup roster.
I feel like when it comes to, like you want to have this broad range of experience of the players in a roster at a World Cup. You want to have some experienced players. You want to have some players that are coming in for the first time. And I think that I'm trying to think back on like my first World Cup and how that felt and what I brought. And I think that Andy is bringing something very different than I was bringing as a player in my first World Cup. So I don't really think it's necessarily like how many World Cups you've been in. Like to me, she's going to be so impactful on the field and is going to, you know, just change games for this team. And it doesn't matter if it's her first or her fourth. Like, that's just the player that she is.
Kelly O'Hara is describing her teammate, 27-year-old midfielder Andy Sullivan, who will be playing in her first Women's World Cup. Andy is based here in the Washington area with the Washington Spirit in the National Women's Soccer League. She credits Kelly O'Hara and the team's other veteran players with letting her know what to expect at the biggest event in women's football.
I think the veterans have been so incredible at telling us what we're getting into. I think you hear stories, you know, through the years, and you experience camps in themselves for the first time. You're like, well, how can anything get crazier than this environment right here? And it just continues to do so. So I think the veterans on this team have just explained, like, given examples of craziness in the past, or just been like, it's going to get crazier, and just acknowledging that and reiterating to lean on them if there's something that we're struggling with, which I think is such an incredible thing to do. Like, all the veterans, they want to perform their best, but they're also still looking out for us newbies, I guess. And so I think, yeah, it's been incredible, and I think it gives the whole team a sense of confidence.
Getting back to Kelly O'Hara, the veteran defender was asked how she feels about teammate Megan Rapinoe playing in her last major tournament.
It's hard to put into words, honestly. I know that the world sees the Megan Rapinoe that the world sees, but we get to see her up close and personal, and, like, obviously the Pino that the world sees is an incredible person and human, and that is her also up close and personal. Like, she brings a sense of humor and lightness, but intensity and empathy, and just, she's one of a kind. Like, she's just, there's never been one like her. There's probably never going to be one close to her. So it's sad to think about this being her last, but she's done such incredible things for this team and for the world. So to be able to see the up close and personal Pino and be close to that has been really special. And I hope that we all send her out on a high.
Kelly O'Hara and the U.S. women are bidding for an unprecedented third consecutive world title. Kelly, can you achieve the three-peat?
I think that there's probably people who are thinking about, like, oh my gosh, can we do three? And there's people that's like, well, we can only do three if we win one. So that's how I'm kind of looking at it. Like, you know, if we three-peat, it's because we won this one tournament. So the past is the past. Like, we have in front of ourselves an opportunity to win a World Cup, and that's what happens every 4 years. So to me, it's just focusing on, like, win this tournament. That's the most important thing. And then you get the three-peat.
That's defender Kelly O'Hara of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. And she spoke in Auckland, New Zealand, where the team will play Vietnam Saturday in its opening Women's World Cup match.
Sport greetings. This is Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copa Queens. And you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Copper Queens of Zambia will be making their Women's World Cup debut in this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation. Myron Nika has a feature Copper Queens team profile from Durban, South Africa.
A bevy of fans draped in Zambia's traditional orange strip welcome the Copper Queens as they arrive safely in New Zealand, where they'll be based for the group stages of the FIFA Women's World Cup. Zambia flew in from Europe, where they set up camp for 3 weeks in preparation for the tournament. It was at that camp where head coach Bruce Mwape named his final 23-player squad for the competition. Led by prolific striker Barbara Banda, the team is stacked with talent, including Spanish Liga F forward Rachel Kundananji, as well as exciting young stars in Everine Katongo, Irene Lungu and Lushoma Mwiba. Mwape, who took over the team in 2018, described their maiden World Cup qualification as historic. He says their main aims are to play an exciting brand of football and qualify for the knockout stages.
Our expectation or our target is to at least qualify into the next, especially the knockout stage. Or what we need is to do well in the opening matches and then get it to another level where we now have to plan well if we have to go further in the tournament.
They may be new to the global stage, but this is a group of players who've spent many years together progressing through Zambia's age group system into the senior team. 23-year-old Banda, who plays for Chinese Super League team Shanghai Shengli, will wear the captain's armband at the World Cup. She says their understanding of each other's strengths and weaknesses will go a long way.
We've come a very long way. Starting from the U17, we played the U20 together. So I think three-quarters of our teammates, we know each other very well because we've been together for so long time. So looking at the coming in of Mapepa, I think we've got a great striking force. Together with the team, coming down to the midfield and the defense, goalkeeping, I think we're heading at one place.
Zambia have been drawn in Group C alongside Japan, Spain and Costa Rica. They kick off their campaign against the Japanese, who won the title back in 2011 on the 22nd of July.
There's no team to underrate. We are in a group where it's tough, but I think we are very much positive as a team, as Copa Queens. I think what matters mostly is for us, qualifying to the World Cup for the first time with a senior team, that give us a lot of motivation and the courage to go and compete with those teams. We know they are high-level teams that we are alongside in the group, but I'm sure and I'm very much positive that I and my team will do better.
The Football Association of Zambia have given the Copper Queens their full support, arranging the three-week camp in Europe, where they took on the likes of the Republic of Ireland, Switzerland and Germany. Their technical team has also been beefed up with the addition of American coach Lisa Cole as their technical advisor. The former USA under-17 coach has over 30 years of experience and was recently in charge of the Fiji women's national team. Before that, she served as director of women's football and head coach for Antigua and Barbuda's women's national team. Cole says the team is ready to execute their plans in unison.
Talked a lot about the partnerships that are naturally on the field. So the two center backs and the whole back line working up and back together. We've talked about the attacking mid and the target. That if the target checks back to find the ball, the attacking mid has to fill the space that they left. And so we've been talking about how we have to have good relationships with the people next to us within the game so that we can, one, cover for each other if necessary, but also just have a good interchange and make our play unpredictable in attack.
Barbara Banda netted a brace against Germany to cap off a 3-2 victory in their final friendly before the competition is undoubtedly their star player.
Wow, it was a good game for us and a good preparation for the World Cup. You know, Germany is not a pushover team, but I think we really tried our best and at the end of the day, we carried 3 maximum points. That was important for us.
She's netted 28 goals in just 22 matches for the senior team, including 6 at the Tokyo Olympics.
I believe that it's a team of teamwork because on my own, I can't do it. I get support from my teammates, so I give loud applause to my teammates because it's not an individual sport whereby I have to take it personal. I have to play alongside my friends, so I know in some other ways they might depend on me, but at the end of the day, we win as a team. And in everything that we do as a team.
As Zambia fine-tuned their preparations for the start of the World Cup, the team was rocked by an explosive report by British newspaper The Guardian, which claims coach Mwape was investigated by the Zambian FA over sexual misconduct accusations. The report claims the investigation has since been referred to FIFA and the police. Mwape would not comment on the situation once they arrived in New Zealand, with Captain Banda saying the focus of the players is solely on the pitch.
Mostly, I think, as players, our mind is just on the pitch. The rest we leave to the management, and whatever comes up, it's up to them. Our job is just to work on the pitch.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. I've been talking with Stephen Goff, the longtime soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper, about the Women's World Cup. Lindsay Horan and Alex Morgan have been named the co-captains of the defending world champion U.S. team. Steve, what are your thoughts on Morgan?
You know, she's been the U.S.'s top striker for years now, a leader in many ways. She's now 34 years old. She's proved you can be both a mom and a world-class athlete. She is the top striker for the U.S. team, and they will rely on her to score goals, no doubt. In terms of her leadership, I think it's a nice balance between Morgan and Lindsay Horan, leaders in their own ways. Morgan's a little more vocal. She's been with this team a long time. She understands what it takes to win. She has the mentality, and this is a team with a lot of young players, and so they need those mentors, those role models, those leaders. And Andonovsky thinks he has it with Morgan and Horan.
Steve, one of the young players on the U.S. team is Trinity Rodman, the daughter of former basketball star Dennis Rodman. She had two goals against Wales in a send-off match ahead of the Women's World Cup. Do you see Trinity Rodman as maybe a breakout star at the Women's World Cup?
Certainly possible. I think the first young American player who we're going to see with the capability of a big breakout is Sophia Smith, who's 22 years old. She'll play mostly on the right side of the attack. Trinity Rodman's 21, doesn't have as much experience as Sophia Smith, but wow, when she's out there, she's in the open field, creating. She's a spectacular player, and you know she's still maturing. She's still learning the game. She's only been a pro for a couple of years. And I think we'll see her gain some valuable playing time and perhaps a starter here and there. Big things ahead for Trinity Rodman.
Trinity Rodman's head coach on the U.S. team is Vlatko Andonovsky. He was appointed in 2019, replacing Jill Ellis, after the U.S. team lifted the Women's World Cup trophy in France. Steve, how would you describe Andonovsky's coaching style?
In terms of tactics and technical approach, there's not a big difference. The U.S. plays a typically aggressive style with three forwards and often with two attacking midfielders. From that standpoint, there's not a big difference. Andonovsky has bonded well with his players. I think there's a very good rapport there. I think it might be a little better rapport with the players than Jill Ellis had, just from anecdotal evidence. I think they like playing for him. He's going to have to make adjustments as the tournament goes on, whether it's with changing out personnel, adapting to what another team is doing that might cause some problems for his team. And he's on the spot. He was the coach of the Olympic team a couple years ago, and they fell short. You know, anytime the U.S. does not get to a championship game, it's a disappointment. And, you know, they did not get there at the Olympics in 2021. So there is some pressure on him to get it right and make a deep run in this World Cup.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Steve Goff, the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Steve, I know you've been writing how the American women are going for an unprecedented third consecutive Women's World Cup trophy. Looking back on the four previous trophies by the American women, Steve, is there one in particular that maybe stands out for you?
Well, certainly 1999, which was their second championship. It was held in the U.S. That was really the turning point for women's soccer in this country and to some extent to the rest of the world. You know, drew enormous crowds. They really became rock stars during that tournament. Extremely popular players that won a championship at the Rose Bowl in front of 90,000 people and an enormous TV audience. So I think that one, with the drama that unfolded during the game against China, the final, and then winning it in a penalty kick shootout. Beyond that, you know, championships are always memorable. And so you remember things like Carly Lloyd scoring a hat trick in the 2015 final against Japan in Vancouver, including a goal from half field. And then 4 years ago, you know, Rapinoe had an amazing tournament. That team had a lot of close games, but they almost seemed destined to win the thing. And they did against the Netherlands in the final. So those things stand out outside of the U.S. I mean, Germany's won. Germany won 2003-2007, and China and Norway were early powers. And now we're starting to see, you know, a team like England, where the sport is so important to the masses, really take off on the women's side. So this is, I think this is a big moment for English soccer, English football as well.
Stephen Goff, the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure, Sonny, anytime.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's English to Africa service is celebrating its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts about the Sonny Side of Sports. Send a voice message or text to this WhatsApp number, +1-202-258-3076. Recall a favorite memory. That number again, +1-202-258-3076. And thanks for 60 years of support.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. So do the math, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. As the VOA's English to Africa service prepares to celebrate its 60th anniversary, Music Time in Africa has been a part of our programming for 58 of those 60 years. In disabled sports, Volt Hockey has been described as a mix of ice hockey, floor hockey, and field hockey. VOA's Tina Trin recently attended a Volt Hockey match in Boston, Massachusetts.
The objective is simple. Get the ball in the net. But it's not as easy as it looks.
It's tricky. I mean, the ball can get away from you in a second.
Marley Robinson is talking about Volt Hockey, a relatively new sport in the U.S., Dylan Hogan is a graduate student and coach of the Boston Whiplash, a local Volt hockey team.
Volt hockey is an exciting 3v3 power wheelchair adaptive sports for people with physical disabilities. And it is played on a gym floor, has a rink around the outside, and it's pretty much a mix of ice hockey, floor hockey, and field hockey.
The nonprofit Boston Self-Help Center organized this session, where players use a specially designed motorized chair that's low to the ground and controlled by a joystick. A plastic paddle for passing and driving balls is attached to the front. Robinson says it's super fun.
It's such a good way to get energy out of your system and just play something physical.
Desi 40 has been playing for a little over a year.
It's been a lot of fun to get back into playing sports. There's not a lot of opportunities for power wheelchair users.
That's especially true for adults, says Lorna Hayward, who researches the benefits of adaptive sports.
Once you become adult and you've either aged out of the system for kids, like with your parents taking care of you and you're living as an independent adult, there are very few opportunities to participate in adaptive sports unless you're at a higher level and you do the Pan American Games or some of the adaptive sports Olympic level games.
Robinson has spinal muscular atrophy, a form of muscular dystrophy.
That's why volt hockey is such a great sport for me because it doesn't require any upper body strength, really. You just need to be able to control a joystick.
Before volt hockey, Desi 40 hadn't competed in a sport since middle school. For her, the game fulfills a certain need for speed.
My power chair goes a maximum of 6 miles an hour, which is fast, but these chairs go 9 miles an hour, which is even faster, and they maneuver so quickly, and so it's really freeing to be able to be on the court.
For players, it's a chance not only to get in the game, but to build community, says Coach Dylan Hogan.
What it provides is something that doesn't exist in a lot of places, and it opens up new spaces for players with disabilities to hang out with people like them. People who are similarly left out in a lot of those common spaces.
13-year-old player Vivian Lika likes the competition.
I love volt hockey because it's like the only activity that I could do that doesn't have to be modified to fit my needs. Like gym class at school, if they change the rules. But here, anyone with like any disability could play.
Leveling the playing field in more ways than one. Tina Trin, VOA News, Boston.
Thanks, Tina. This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll be behind my trusty Voice of America microphone on Thursday. But then Muckville Yabaro will be hosting the show for a couple of weeks.
I get it.
As I take some summer vacation. I'll be back on Monday, August 7th. And that wraps up the July 19th edition of the show. Thank you. you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.